Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It from WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thanks so much for joining us. A play with a script, but no rehearsal. A cast with a new audition every night. And a playwright who performs partly on stage, but silently. These are the makings of an Iranian playwright, Nassim Soleimanpour's new play, Nassim, which is currently making its U.S. premiere at New York City Center, and it runs through April 20th. The play has been translated into a dozen languages and performed in more than that in countries. This process of translation extends to the show itself, encouraging audiences to take a look at how language can be used as a point of connection rather than the root of misunderstanding. And Nassim Soleimanpour joined us in the studio. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Allison.
So this is this format, this is so interesting. What do you like about this format, and how did you come up with it for this particular subject?
Well, it's like what's happening here. It's like life. Life knows no rehearsals. We just show up. We deal with things. I think that's my main interest. It takes us to the next level. And yeah, with this certain subject, of course, it follows the previous shows that we've done with similar formats. The big difference is that normally we just have some papers, we put them in an envelope, and we ask an actor just to show up and read it in front of a live audience. And of course, the script would start directing the actor and even the audience to go on stage and do things. This production is a bit more complicated. It has technology involved. And yeah, as you said, I'm around.
I'll describe for people. When you walk into the theater, it's three quarters and the stage is in the middle. And there is a microphone and a desk with a box. And that is all you see. And then an actor comes on. And this is one of the interesting points. It's a different actor every time.
Yeah, we have a different actor every night. And yeah, different genders, age, whatever. They know nothing about what they're going to do. I don't meet with them before the show. They're not allowed to research. They're not allowed to, of course, come and see the show. And yeah, that's how the show starts.
How do you recruit the actors?
Well, it's the producers. They do that. But yeah, I've been doing similar things for a decade. We have a big fight club out there.
You don't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Can you share some of the actors who have performed Nassim so far?
Oh my God, like here in New York or like globally?
Here in New York.
Oh, we're talking about 70 so far. I mean, I've
named 70, wow.
Yeah,
Kate Walsh was one.
Yeah, Kate was there. Mike Shannon was there. Michael Urie was there. Kathy Najimy was there. It's like, it's huge. I name anyone, I miss some people, I feel bad.
No, that's okay. when they are first approached, what are some of the common questions they have? Or what is their first response about, you have to go out on stage, you don't know the script, you don't meet the playwright, you don't know who the director is?
Well, these are amazing people. I literally think they are, yeah, superhuman. You know, they're a cup of tea, because some actors might feel they don't want to do such things. They're all funny. They say things that you laugh. Yeah.
It's a little bit of flying without a net. And I feel like we as the audience, we're rooting for the actor.
Yeah.
There's definitely
totally
that sense
agree.
Of that.
That unifies us. We're all in the same boat.
Does the play, since you've seen it this many times with these many different actors, what elements of the play stay the same no matter who the actor is?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always describe it as it's a car. Okay. So the team, like us, who prepared the show, we've designed the car, we've secured, we don't want any crashes, it's insured, and we know that we start from New York and we're going to New Jersey, okay, so if that is like the destination. So how then we get a driver. Every new actor comes in, they're new drivers, and they pick how to drive, how fast they're gonna go, if they're gonna stop, what type of music they're going to play for us. You know, and that is how it changes. So of course we start from the same point, we check the stations that we should, and we end where we should. Otherwise, the car is crashed, and that's something that we don't want. But in between, we have lots of different, you know, tastes and approaches and stories, which keeps it even fun for us as the team who's working on the show.
If you wouldn't mind sharing a few instances that have happened during the show that were really either surprising to you or you just are memorable?
Oh my God, I have lots of funny stories. There is a point that the actor is asked to follow a line. Here in New York, it's a pink line. Mm-hmm. And it's just there. You see it on stage and they follow it and it takes them somewhere backstage. And it sounds very easy. You follow the pink line, no? But people get lost. People get excited. They cannot follow the line. As good as they are, this happens. The other funny thing that I remember happened in Australia, there is a point that you see a play button on stage. And yeah, if you play it, you know, you hear a sound. And I remember that this actor, the play button popped up and this actor exits the stage.
We thought it was an arrow to
he
leave.
He thought it's an arrow to leave, which was really, really funny.
Yeah. My guest is Nassim Soleimanpour. His new play, Nassim, is at New York City Center, and it's running through April 20th. So in this play, there are three people involved. You're involved. Well, actually, there's fourth. We'll call the audience a fourth person. You're involved. The actor is involved. And then later on, I don't want to give too much away, your mom.
Yeah,
comes involved.
Maman.
We learned how to say Maman in Farsi.
Maman is there, yeah.
But you're the only silent person. Why are you quiet? Why don't we ever hear you speak?
I was hoping you invite me to come here and talk to you. Well, no, the reality...
You're playing the long game.
The reality is I'm speaking to you through my words. I'm a playwright, mm-hmm. You know, and my words, I'm there. I'm around and I still have a Sharpie. Every now and then I write, whether it's in Chinese or in English or in any other languages, I have my tricks. So, and then there is a point that you might hear my voice. We both know that we don't want to spoil mm-hmm. it. So, yeah, we keep it for the time.
Yeah.
We're patient.
We're not going to give too much away.
Yeah.
To describe it to people, there's a projection. So as you're saying, you're right. You're going through the script and you communicate with the audience and with the actor by writing until the very end. You do talk. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
A little bit. But for the most of it, you're just writing. It's interesting though, because the technology, I saw it yesterday and there were a couple of technical difficulties. I couldn't tell if those were written into the script or you really were having difficulties with the camera that films you writing. Which is it?
Well, it was, of course, it was a plan B. We had to, you know, if it happens and it hopefully it does not. I mean, it didn't happen many times. I don't know why it happened yesterday. But of course, we have different plans. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you survive on tour. So, and I wouldn't mind. It's like life. As long as it doesn't crash, as I say, yeah, it's fun. You enjoy it.
And there's this big instruction comes out that says
no panic on the Titanic.
No panic on the Titanic as we wait for the technology to catch up. It's interesting. I had mentioned that this, and please correct me if I'm wrong, this has been done in several different languages,
yes,
correct?
Yes, a dozen, yeah, 12 I think so far.
And you speak Farsi, English, and German.
I speak Farsi, English, German, some Arabic, a bit of Kurdish, yeah.
What is it like to do this play in a language that you don't speak?
Oh, it's amazing.
Tell me about that.
That was, well, I mean, A is like it becomes more clown, you know, because I definitely know nothing. So I have to work so hard before we arrive. I have to study. I have to learn the alphabets. We've done it in Chinese, Japanese, you know, Hangul. Of course, Hangul and Japanese are more mm-hmm. doable. Chinese is almost impossible. And I have to memorize actors' names, like certain sentences, how to write them down, of course, with my Sharpie and a pen. But still, in the meantime, everyone is aware that I definitely don't understand what clearly is happening. An actor decides to ad-lib. I think like, okay, so the page is finished. I can flip, can go to the next page and we can... And then the whole room suddenly goes, oh, like, don't do that, you know? So it's the next level, I think. English is like home now. The Farsi should be my mother tongue, but it's easier to do it in English. And it's, yeah, amazing. Even here I'm learning new English words from the actors and the audience, which is amazing.
That's one of the interesting things about the play. So as the actors on stage, projected behind them is the script, and you're leaping through it, and the camera's photographing you leaping through it and writing notes to the actor. And part of it is this idea of us learning each other's languages. And you ask at one point, you want to know a sophisticated word. That's what the script says.
Yeah.
The narrator would like to know a sophisticated word.
Yeah.
And you pull out a book that shows all the words.
We don't go to the details. Yes, I gathered lots of words. That we can, yes.
Can you? Yeah, we won't give away because it's funny. We won't give it away. It's a good. It's interesting about our culture. What this one word keeps repeating. What are some of the words that New Yorkers have given you?
Well, I mean, English language is like, I don't know, serendipitous is a mm-hmm. word that everyone wants to teach me.
Serendipitous.
and onomatopoeia is a word that everyone wants to teach me. These two words happen a lot. And in New York, there is another word which I don't spoil with
you. No, we won't
give
it to you.
But it's a very funny word.
Yesterday it was funny because somebody said sophisticated.
Yeah,
and you went back to the page and underlined, like, I know sophisticated.
It's like in my script.
That was such a funny moment. I did shout out Schadenfreude, but nobody heard me. That would have been hard to spell. Good one, but hard to spell. The audience interaction, we're invited. As I said, we are really rooting for this actor. In our case yesterday, it was Amy Warren. You're really rooting for this actor because they're flying without a net. But you also ask the audience to come up and have the sort of similar experience of having to learn on the fly, learn language on the fly. Why did you decide to include the audience in this piece?
I mean, to me, it's, I don't know who's the audience, who's the writer, you know, who is the actor. If you are writing a new word, which is part of the script, as you say, then you become the writer, you know. If I'm on stage now, then I became an actor, and I'm not an actor. I mean, I trap myself in my own play in a very funny way. So we are switching roles. And I understand that traditionally we are in this phase of denial, that we should turn off our phones, that you sit there, I sit there, I imagine you're not there. But in reality, you are there and you have a cell phone in your pocket. You can talk, you can shout, you can volunteer to come on stage. Mm-hmm. And I think if we are like very friendly, inviting people, I've been told New York audience is like a bit distant, and I can tell you that's anything but distant to me. They're very loud. They want to participate. We ask for volunteers. We don't push anyone to come on stage. And it has never happened that we don't have volunteers to come and help us with the show.
My guest is Nassim Soleimanpour. The name of his play is Nassim. It is at New York City Center. So something funny happened yesterday, and I wonder if this has happened before. There was someone in the audience. You are teaching, the narrator, and the play decides to teach some Farsi to the audience. And there was a Farsi speaker yesterday. Has that happened before?
Every now and then.
Yeah,
and which I really adore, because most of Iranian theater makers who are abroad often have lots of Iranian audience member. I don't have that luxury. So every now and then when I see some Iranian audience members, I'm overexcited. And of course, that helps the show as well.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the show is scripted because it's a play and you have to stay on track. But there are moments of improvisation and moments when it could take different twists and turns. And one of them is you ask the actor to share pictures on the phone. Have you ever gotten into a difficult situation, or is there something similar about the pictures? What have you noticed about what are pictures pop up?
Well, you know, I have my own protocols. So there's things that, like, of course, I don't flip if you don't allow me. But I might tease you. I might go for, like, may I flip, you know? And you're like, no.
You slide. You, like, half-slide the picture.
one of the things that we often do, I don't know if it happened, the show that you watched, is, like, I try to investigate the photos. Like, you show me a photo, and I zoom in, and I find a funny guy. Like, last night, I remember there was a wedding photo from one of the actors. Lovely, beautiful wedding photo. And I zoomed in and I found the photographer in a mirror, you know, and we laughed a lot. They haven't noticed themselves, the couple. When they came backstage, we talked and they're like, we didn't notice that he's there in the mirror. So it's like, like things that we do on Facebook. It's just like live in front of you. Yeah.
But it's so interesting, the moment with the actress yesterday. You swept through, and she said, they're all going to be of Abraham, this adorable little boy.
Yeah, who was really adorable.
Such a funny moment. She knows her phone is full of pictures of Abraham.
And that tells us a lot about her, no?
Yes, exactly, exactly. So there's another part in the play where you show people your passport, your Iranian passport, and you flip through and you see, and you say, do you want to see my visa? You don't say it, you write, do you want to see my visa? Which, if people know your personal story, there's a lot of levels to that mm-hmm. part. Mm-hmm. You arrived in the United States, was it just the night before?
Yes.
Can you explain to our audience what happened?
Well, the thing is, like, because we have travel bans now. So when 2 years ago, when Rabbit was here, my old play, mm-hmm. I could come here easier. I wouldn't say very easy. Still, I'm an Iranian. Well, I missed that chance. This time when I got invited, I immediately said, it's a big risk for you. It's a big risk for me. It's 5 months of our calendars. I want to come, but I don't think we should do that. But the producers, the Barrow Theatre Theatricals, the Barrow Street Theatricals, and the other producers, Jean and Tom, they all like insisted that we will get you a visa. And I was like, yeah, good luck. You will not manage. So they went through this very long process. They got a petition. Many people who did my old shows, universities, institutions, they all, you know, wrote that, hey, this guy is not going to be a terrorist, he just want to come here and entertain us, that's his job as a performer. And then Senator Gilbert kindly followed up. So all these things, they applied for this waiver, and it was a process of 7 months.
Wow.
It's so exhausting. And imagine I'm on tour. By the time we started the international touring in January, by November, when I'm supposed to go only in November, that's easier to explain, we've visited 8 countries only in November. And like I'm running between China and Japan, and I end up in Madrid. Before I go to Madrid, actually, I received this message that I can go get my visa. That's a few days before I'm like, but I need my passport to fly to Madrid. You know, it's a mm-hmm. bit dear. They're late, you know, it's like. So basically my agent has to fly with me to Madrid, get my passport, fly back to Berlin, go to the consulate. They make an exception, put my visa there. He flies back to Madrid. And then on December 5th, we fly together to New York and immediately go to the theater and then do the dress. And yeah, we just keep going.
What were you experiencing emotionally through this process?
Well, I mean, emotions, you deal with them. It's like it's your brain. It's all these questions that if you know, we all know when I say Iran, you all think it's not a free country. Okay, you sit in any cab in Iran, they have complaints. And I don't think that even the Iranian government is bragging that it's a very free country. But you keep bragging. You keep bragging this is the free world. You keep bragging we're equal. And I'm telling you, we're anything but equal. We are not equal. That is happening. This is the sad reality of your country. You know, this is similar, I mean, partially in West, in Europe, where I live. So you keep questioning and you don't blame people. I mean, it's like it's easy to point and go for like this guy or that guy. It's something deeper. Mm-hmm. I think we should have hope, but in reality, we still need some more time to realize all these topics of race, gender, etc. That's probably why I try to write roles for characters which doesn't have any age or gender or nothing. It can be performed by a guy who's 70 or by a girl who's 16. That should work.
My guest is Nassim Soleimanpour. The name of his play is Nassim. It's at New York City Center until April 20th. Do you plan to continue to tour with this?
Yes. So we would be here till, yes, April 20. Then we immediately go back to Canada because we already did Toronto. We do Edmonton, Vancouver, festival in Quebec, and then go back to Europe to Manchester. So, yeah, we would be on tour for a few years.
And you have another project going with Audible?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. Well, they very kindly, they started the theater department. They've announced the first 15 playwrights and now another 15 playwrights, if I'm right with the numbers. And I promise to give them a play, and I'm working on it. I'm very excited. It's a radio play. Yeah.
What do you hope people take away from this particular show?
I hope we become friends. I hope we become closer. Yeah, I hope we laugh a lot. Sometimes I count. Like every show, we might laugh over 100 times. And it's very common that people go out while their eyes are wet. So I hope, we get closer.
All right. I remembered how to say neke. Bodo?
Yekibut.
Yekibut? And what's the second line again?
Similar to that, Yeki.
Yeki.
Nabut.
Nabut.
That's Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time. We all learn to say that if you go see the show. The name of the show is Nassim Soleimanpour. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much,
in
Alice.
Studio. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with me. We will see you here next time.